Welcome to the Chinnamista Conversations, a part of the Mindful Maya podcast. Today, we're joined by my friend Shahryar Braghi, who is a musician and sound designer, and in general, a calm person. Before we dive into our conversation, let me quickly recap what we'll be discussing today. In previous episodes, we talked about the Chinnamista technique, which helps us experience a state of consciousness where our usual identities, stories, and sense of time and space fade away, leaving only a pure state of awareness, a state of knowing, a state generally called void. Personally, I've been intrigued by this void state that I experienced during meditation and using the Chinnamista technique. While meditation brought me calmness, I still had a strong desire to expand my consciousness and learn more. In the void, there is no sense of I as such, but when I returned to my normal state of mind, I felt a sense of incompleteness, a yearning for more understanding. And around the end of 2023, I discovered hemisync technology developed by the Monroe Institute, thanks to Robert Monroe's desire to share his out-of-body experiences with others scientifically. Using binaural beats, I found myself more present in the void during meditation with improved imagination and visualization. I even created such an audio with verbal guidance in Nepali language for my mother. She reported that it indeed helped her feel lighter and more relaxed. Inspired by these results, I began offering live guided sessions called Sound Mind, using different frequencies to help participants reach meditative states more easily. Many reported feeling calm and relaxed, and some even had out-of-body experiences, going out of the planet and seeing it from a distance, and in general exploring different aspects of themselves. In this episode, recorded after a Sound Mind session, Shahryar shares his experiences, which, along with others, motivate me to continue sharing these ancient yet innovative meditation methods. Before we start, we encourage you to listen with an open mind. If anything resonates with you, we invite you to explore further on your own. And here is today's episode with my friend Shahryar. So let me introduce you to my friend, my very good friend, my brother Shahryar, who has been a part of my life since 2020 and ever since we have been growing together. Although we don't see each other so much, whenever we meet, we're always there, we're always new. And this has been a very good experience in my own life, meeting you. And Shahryar is a sound designer, a musician, and I came to his apartment today and saw all these gadgets, all the analog devices, and then I got fascinated that one guitar can make 1,000 different sounds. And this is what we experienced as well in the session, that one physical body can have as many experiences as we can. Let's start with your experience of the session. How long did you think the session lasted in our earthly time?
I think if I was to take an intelligent guess, then it would be probably 1 hour.
Okay. It was 1.5, but
okay,
fairly close.
Okay. Well, I mean, I thought 1 hour is like, I was trying to give it like a bit more headroom.
Yeah.
But if by feeling, I would say my earlier guess would have been probably like maximum 45 minutes or 30 minutes minimum.
This is actually how it feels. I've realized that there's a 45 minutes off cycle that happens in the human brain. Mm-hmm. As whenever I sit for meditation without any sound or anything, mm-hmm. it's exactly 45 minutes, around 45 minutes, and my body says, nah, it's enough now. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to my father-in-law, who also meditates, and he said the same, that when I sit, if it's something what we call dhyan lage, mm-hmm. if meditation happens, then he can sit up to 1 hour. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's 45 minutes and then the body starts to feel agitated or something and then mm-hmm. he starts to move. And also, I was looking at the sleep cycle periods of human body system, and they talk about something like 90 minutes of cycle is one complete sleep cycle, into which we enter into delta state, the deepest level of sleep, where we are unconscious and we dream about 4 or 5 minutes during this period.
and which is like the first half of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Then as we go deep into this four cycles, which is 6 hours, mm-hmm. after crossing that mark of 6 hours, we start to dream more, even 30 minutes of dream time.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realize 45 minutes is exactly how long it takes for us to actually have a little bit of experience in meditation and come back. And if we can increase this to 90 minutes, which was already 1.5 hour, 30 minutes more would be already 90 minutes, then there would be even more entry into this expanded state of awareness. That's my feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I feel at the moment. But tell me about your experience. Let the audience also hear how it feels to enter into this expanded state of awareness using sounds, basically. And we are sound designers, and that is what we are doing with sound. How would you describe this experience, which obviously it's difficult to describe, I assume?
I think I could probably give you like a entire summary of the entire journey, but I think that would be just me speaking a lot. And so you'd have to ask me very focused questions about a couple of things. And then I can obviously share from there. But just in terms of the feeling that I can describe is that, like I was saying earlier, after we finished, that while I was there and while I was in the non-physical, it felt like, well, one, it felt very familiar, almost as if that is the resting state, and that is how it has always been and how it should always be. And the physical feels like very sort of like right now we feel that the physical is just normal, right? It's it feels normal, it feels real, and it feels like, oh, and very familiar, of course, because we in our physical body think that we've always been physical. So it's like, you know, as far as we can remember. But when you're there, it feels like the physical is like just a small, like little blip, or like a little, just this like very small temporary kind of a thing. It feels less familiar. And so when I came back, I realized that, like I said earlier, when we were speaking, that it just felt painful, and it felt, like a task, you know, whereas while I was in the non-physical, it felt like, okay, well, this was meant to be, this is how it should be, this is how it is, and this feels normal. Like, and when I come back, I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, this is so strange. This in particular is the anomaly rather than that. So the feeling was like of, yeah, this like sort of weight of physical existence. But the weight of that physical existence, I suppose, was very much lessened because I felt very light and refreshed and rejuvenated, and sort of like, you know, like I was mentioning earlier, this analogy that I was giving, that all of my cells, body's cells on that microscopic level, had been taken out of my body, plugged into a charger, or put like on a charging pad. They reached till 100 and then put that back into my body. So, like when every single cell is refreshed, you feel like, you feel a bit lightheaded, you feel like a rubbery kind of a balloon-like thing, very light. So that was like the physical feeling of the body. And in the mind, of course, there's a lot of things that were, I mean, thoughts weren't there really, just fascination was there. Fascination and gratitude, and a feeling of like immense gratitude because of experiencing so much beauty. And so much like, so much the feeling of something natural that I had experienced, and familiarity, that coming back here, I'm like, okay, well, I'm so grateful and happy to have been able to experience that. So yeah, all the fears and insecurities and like even the fear of death, it just disappears because I'm like, okay, well, if this is what's coming, then like, you know, it's going to be very beautiful.
When I was reading about this, Dolores Cannon's work, and she described when people die, what they, the expression they have is, I'm free. And this is what exactly the works of Robert Monroe was also showing, that mm-hmm. people who die, they usually find that freedom, really, really full of gratitude that I'm no more limited with my physical aspects,
mm-hmm.
which is something really pulls me in to further delve into this thing, further explore and experiment into these things.
Mm-hmm.
So I really find it fascinating. You described to me earlier about having this coming back and seeing yourself in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little more, or tell us a little more about this seeing yourself from a second perspective?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it started in the beginning, because in the beginning, when you were getting me to move in the vertical, in the lateral direction, because I was laying flat, and then with the breathing, I was sort of moving out of my body. So that was happening first. That was the first instance of like realizing that I can detach from my body. And with the breathing in the beginning, I was like getting a bit disoriented, because naturally what was happening for me was that with breathing in, that's when I could move up outside of the body, and breathing out would bring me back in. But you were guiding the opposite to me. And so I had to kind of align myself with that with breathing in, I would go into my body, and with breathing out, I would go out. And I realized the importance of that why that was necessary. So, or maybe I'm saying the opposite, I don't exactly remember, but I do realize that your instructions at the beginning were opposite of what was happening naturally to me. But when I aligned myself to your instructions, I realized that, okay, this feels more natural than what was coming naturally to me, because I could somehow appreciate the movement of that with the breathing and the, you know, sort of astral body, so to speak, going out of my body. So anyway, apart from that, like what was happening was that when I went out of my body, it was very interesting that I, like with the first breath, I could reach the ceiling. So when I looked around, I could see from that perspective, from the top, just on my sides, not down below, because I wasn't turning. I was just looking on my sides. So I could see the side of the top of the wall. But it was happening. It happened so fast for me that when I went up in the second breath, I was immediately just like going beyond the ceiling. So I had to control myself to remain like next to the ceiling, because like with every breath, I was just popping out and I was going in the top floor. And then with the fourth or the fifth breath, I was just immediately shooting outside of the planet itself. So I was like, okay, you need to calm down, because you're going to start moving very fast if you keep doing this. So I was trying to contain myself. So at one point, like, you know, I was trying to reach the ceiling, and then my face would like just sort of like squeeze against the ceiling. But then I would realize that I'm just going beyond the ceiling as well. So there is no face, there is no physical body, but my expectation is that it's the physical rules will apply. So as soon as I sort of like broke out of that barrier, and then I flipped around, I saw myself on the sofa, I could see you as well. And so that was like the first moment. And towards the end, it's to do with, like, in the beginning, there was a lot of chaos in my body, like in my astral body is what I mean to say. That it was moving very fast, extremely fast, zero control, very chaotic as well. It's just somehow naturally finding its way towards where it's supposed to be, which is something that I experienced in the end anyway, that I realized, okay, all of that was not random. All of that chaos even wasn't random. It was bringing me back to, or bringing me towards exactly the point where I needed to be. And I was eventually guided by that. And sort of the trust in the process grew as I started going out and started becoming more calm. But yeah, in the end, when I came back, and I could have just like actually could have just straight up come back into my body, like I didn't have to go through the stairs. Because in the beginning, I didn't take any stairs, I just shot out through the roof. But in the end, I had more control over my body. So like, I ended up back in the neighborhood, which is where I exited from. But I went around the neighborhood, I just had a lot more control. I just moved towards the because we're on the third floor. So I moved towards the entrance of the building downstairs, went spiraled through the staircase, came into the room, saw myself from there. And immediately I was just coming back to my body. But then I stood there, like I forced myself to take a couple of steps back, look at myself, just to observe the space. And I realized I had more control now. So I can stand there. I don't have to like be that chaotic. So I stood there patiently. I took a couple of seconds to look around, saw myself, saw you, appreciated all of this. There was light in here as well, which is very strange because we had turned off the lights, but there was light here, and it wasn't coming from these like light sources that are here. It was coming from the other corner, and it was somehow illuminating this entire scene in a very like this HDR effect kind of way. Like everything was very sharp, basically. Mm-hmm. And I could see all of those silhouettes, and then the form started coming, and I could see all of this. Sort of, there was a very pleasing sense of calm to all of this. And I smiled within that body that I was astral body. It was like this, like just a weight had been lifted. There was this feeling of bliss and happiness. And then I very calmly moved towards my body and entered. And then it just very like blissfully sort of came back to, you know.
Yeah. Now this is really a beautiful experience to hear as well, because I have myself tried to go out of body many times, mm-hmm. and succeeded very few, mm-hmm. few times. And all the time I was chaotic as well. As soon as I realize I'm out, I try to run away, mm-hmm. as far as possible, as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. But I would generally, my body would pull me back, mm-hmm. and I'd be inside my body. Mm-hmm. Then I would wake up feeling, maybe I shouldn't have run away. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should have just watched, took a step, a few steps, looked around. But this control over the non-physical body, in that sense, still isn't happening to me yet. Mm-hmm. However, the exploration hasn't stopped. And that amuses me, because one way of exploration is take your non-physical body out, or have an out-of-body experience, go out. And another way of experience I've realized is, without having exited in that form of sense of going out of the body, we can still experience inside, or having gone inside and exploring through inside whatever there is, mm-hmm. out there. Mm-hmm. And I was particularly really excited to hear that you were out in the first try, and then you were able to control that and come back in, which is, I think, is a really, really beautiful thing to experience.
I think it was like it was a process as well to learn. There was a two-part kind of learning. So first, the first thing was my connection broke very easily. I think it's because of prior practice as well. Obviously, it wasn't as contained as controlled and guided as this was. It was like more chaotic. But my connection broke very easily. And so I was able to get out very quickly. But I had a converse thought to what you had, that you wanted to escape very quickly. And I was very hesitant, because like when I was going around, while I was in the neighborhood close by, I was like, okay, this is fine. But then once I shot out of there, that's when I was like, okay, I'm going too fast. And so I wasn't trusting. There was a bit of hesitation as well. I suppose there was a bit of insecurity or fear as well, that I'm going really fast. I might get lost as well. And so the two-part learning from this entire journey for me till the end, which became very clear, was one thing was learning to trust that even this fast movement or anything, you're not going to get lost. You will end up exactly where you need to be, which is what was shown to me in the end. So my learning through this was, trust your chaos as well, because that chaos will be aligned. Trust the speed of this as well, because you won't get lost. And the second part learning was that you would be able to control it. Because in the beginning, I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to control it. And of course, then I would get lost. But in the end, I realized that I can control it. I just have to intend to do that. And then I was able to do that. Of course, obviously it's the first time, I suppose, first time for this method for me. So it wasn't 100% control. There were bouts of it. There were moments of it where there was absolute control. Otherwise there was still chaos. But towards the end of it, I sort of learned the method to start controlling, because your vibration is very strong and very fast. And so it's just a matter of intending, and then with like will sort of restricting that vibration and focusing that in one particular space. And once you're able to do that, then you're able to like achieve whatever is being guided. And I think it has a lot to do with that guidance of telling you to fulfill a certain task. Like you said, that put your emotional body down and do this and that, and you know, all the things that you were guiding. So I think that's very, very, very important. That's my learning. That's very important, to have a certain task which will ground you as well, which will give you the opportunity to sort of exercise that control.
I've learned that with the Monroe Institute's practices, that when we go out, it's mostly our right brain active, let's say, with a lot of visuals and symbolisms on and creative side. And when we do it alone, then we have a very limited control of our left brain through the process. But if there is an extra left brain that can ask questions, that can put you in the story or make you stay around a place and look around a little bit, then it will be greatly helpful that otherwise we would simply, it's a great fascination to fly, and it feels really good that you're free and you can just go around and explore, which is good. But if we have the second person or our own trained left brain to question, then we can fulfill some task around there. And this is what is what I have learned from my own experiences and also having practiced this QHST or hypnotherapy, that we definitely benefit from a guide or or a monitor in this case, that who would sit there, take you through the process and have some task fulfilled and done.
I think one thing that I would like to add here is that I definitely agree with that. Guidance is important because for some people, for example, I'll just talk about myself, that there was this like hesitation to or fear of getting lost and not being able to return to this body eventually, or straying too far or whatever, like how will I come back? And when you guided about the about asking for my guide, you know, to show me some wisdom or like take me to where I want to go, or like, you know, just ask them question, ask them anything. And I asked them like, what should I do? Or like, you know, I don't even think that I asked anything, probably. I just presented myself and it knew like what it had to do. And I was just there with the intention. It was like happening so much, like before my thoughts could even ask or before I could even say anything, they already knew like what they had to do. But my intention was to ask him. Anyway, if you hadn't guided me about speaking to the guide, I probably wouldn't have returned to my entry point. Or there might have been just like sort of chaotic exploration. Might have returned as well, probably. But then I wouldn't have found that point, which was very important for me to extract out of this journey. So in that sense, in that context, I think the guide is very important because it takes you exactly to that point through the process, through asking the guides. Exactly to that point where you need it, where you have to be, which is good for you, which is perhaps your life's journey or exploration or something of that sort, you know.
I don't know what to say, because this is what this is a new addition to my practice as well, that now we're using sound frequencies that came like 2 months ago in my life. Before that, the process was kind of similar, that I would take someone into a hypnotic state or hypnagogic state of brain, that you would kind of start to phase a little bit away from this physical reality and then bring you into another time, another space, and like that, which is a typical part of a process of this past life hypnotherapy. And in this one, I started to change the methodology a little bit, that I introduce you to the sound frequencies first. Then I start guiding you through the breathing process.
Yeah.
To make your body even feel more relaxed, and the changes already starts to appear. The shifting, phase shifting from the reality starts to appear. And you feel it in the body as well.
Yeah,
there's tingling sensation. Body starts to do some weird things. It's all perceivable by the experiencer.
Yeah, especially there's like a lot of pressure on the in the middle of the eyes behind those.
Yeah. The forehead starts to
the forehead.
Or the third eye starts to get
The pineal gland probably
activated. Probably there's a lot of, I wouldn't say DMT release yet, I don't know, but probably there's a starting of this process of tuning of our pineal gland around that time.
Yeah.
Because with the breath exercise, I myself have experienced the pulsation in the center of the forehead quite a lot of time, and also guided the participants of these weekend meditations we do, and they've also experienced this. And coming back to the sound frequencies, that I really am... I'm fascinated and inspired and encouraged to use the sound frequencies. What the brain does is, if we put a certain frequency on the left side of the ear, on a stereo headphones, and on the right side, a slightly different frequency. Let's say a common example, 100 hertz on the left ear, mm-hmm. 104 hertz on the right ear. Then somehow the brain interprets this frequency and it combines it in a certain way that it hears the difference of these two would be 4 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
4 hertz is already starting point of a deep sleep. It's a delta level of brain waves. Not only that, it starts to replicate 4 hertz. So when we put these differences of frequencies in our ears, the brain starts to resonate the difference of that frequency. So we're working with a lot of different frequencies around delta, which is deep sleep, basically in training your brain to vibrate both hemispheres mm-hmm. of the brain to vibrate in the 4 hertz in delta level, let's say. But your body would fall asleep in 4 hertz. So we add a little bit of gamma waves, let's say, to not let it fall asleep and in turn facilitate more visualizations. So the physical body is almost down, it's falling asleep, but you don't fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I found really, really interesting on the Monroe Institute's work. Basically, that's what we have now created in our sessions, that we introduce you to very relaxing frequencies, then take you to a process of not letting you fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And with your experience also, what it does is that it's the same phenomenon that occurs every night, that the body goes asleep and then all these changes in the brainwaves occurs naturally.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the session, we put the frequencies in such a way that your body goes to sleep as naturally, but the mind remains there watching what happens when we actually go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the freedom and possibility to explore these sleep states, which otherwise we would go unconscious. Here we go conscious. And this aligns perfectly, perfectly with the practices of meditation,
mm-hmm.
where we go into these states consciously without falling asleep, sitting there just looking at the mind or at all the time or looking at the breath to not fall asleep. Keep on looking the breath, watching the breath, watching the breath. And the body goes sleep, the mind's still there, and it starts to move on by itself. It starts to form a life onto itself.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what's happening, and I'm really, really fascinated by this process and really happy to see that it is starting to work as well. This is something I am really enjoying.
Oh, it's working all right. Working for sure.
Could you tell us about your experience of bringing the guide and having guided from the guide, not from me in that sense, mm-hmm. already I'm guiding you with the session, but your guide guides you on a different level,
mm-hmm.
and how is it that for you, how was it that for you?
So it's all in the context of how it was before and why the guide came, and when it came it put me in a place. So like before, it was just me exploring around the universe and passing through the same universe. This universe, yeah. I suppose at the speed of light, or it just felt like even more, because I was just passing through like stars and galaxies and asteroids and all of that, like very, very fast. And I kept passing through like galaxies, because like there would be a line of horizon straight, and then as my orientation would change, obviously that would also change, so it would move around because I'm also spinning. So I see it like this, like straight, and then as my orientation changes it goes like vertical and all of that, and then I go into it and then I end up in a different galaxy. And so like I ended up also in a place which was like it had a lot of moons, a lot of planets, I suppose. I don't know exactly, but it had like things stuck up on top of the ceiling of that universe. And then I went inside that. Anyway, I'll get to the guide part, because like this, basically in the beginning, there was a lot of exploration and it was very chaotic exploration. Like I didn't know where I was going. I was just going very fast and moving through one thing to another.
Maybe you were pulled into that space where you...
Maybe I was being pulled in there. Yeah, that could be true. Yeah. So... But I think before I asked the guide, I'm not exactly sure if before I asked the guide I ended up in that space or I ended up there afterwards. But anyway, I was in this universe and then I somehow ended up in the other universe. And before that, I exactly remember I ended up on this planet probably, which had just mountains, just brown colored mountains, just texture of that, where I felt the texture as well. And there was smoke, and then I went inside, and then I ended up back in the solar system, some other solar system, some other galaxy altogether. And then I ended up beyond this universe. And that's the fascinating part, because in that universe, there was no external, so in our universe, there's empty space, and then there is bodies of mass, but they're external to the empty space, right? And we move from external space into these bodies of mass. And when you move inside of them, there's still rocks or like material that is external to the empty space. But in this universe where I entered, which was beyond this known universe that we know of, everything was just like made of one material, which was like this rock-like structure. So we're moving around in empty space, but in there, you just become that. So like everything is made of rock. And when you enter there, you're also made of rock. And you're just kind of moving and shifting within that sort of like medium, basically. So you become that medium as well. And everything else that exists there is made of that medium also. So I was moving around in that, not as an external body making and carving its way through that like stuff. I literally just become it as well. And then I'm just moving around as a part of it. So it's as if like you enter from this medium of air into a medium of water, which is when we go underwater, then the medium altogether, everything is just made of water, right? Yeah, it is just water. And then there is external things. So in this universe, everything was just made of the medium where you can breathe and move around is rock. So that was very interesting. And that's where my guide came in, because I went into that universe and then I was feeling like, okay, I'm not in my universe even. So now I'm feeling a bit lost, and I'm feeling a bit scared. I shouldn't say scared, because like scared is like a stronger word, but feeling like a bit like just a bit doubtful, like, is this the right place? It doesn't feel familiar, because like with the other stars and everything, you can see like, okay, there's a star there, there's a planet there, it seems familiar. And I'm like, okay, I can approach that and go into it or whatever, go into it, come out of it, feels familiar. In this one, I'm like, everything feels the same and it's very alien, so I don't know where to go. That's when also somehow you also asked me to speak to the guide. And then I spoke to the guide. And obviously I had no expectations, like, I didn't even know like who to call out for. Like, is the guide a person? Is it an angel? Is it God? Who is it? Like, I didn't know. So I just like trusted the phenomenon of guide. And I was like, okay, like I'll just call out to the guide. And before I was about to do that, I ended up at this very like huge waterfall. And it was just the biggest waterfall I've ever seen. Like, it was like made of like probably like insane amounts of planets probably, or like a very large body of mass and water just dripping down from it. And it was the biggest waterfall ever. And so anyway, I was just hovering in front of it. And before this, there was just chaos, and there was just like, I was moving around very like crazily without control. And somehow I ended up in front of it, and I'm just levitating in front of it and not moving around. So just like in control without even doing anything. So it wasn't my willpower that was exercising this control. It was just happening naturally by itself. And then I spoke to the guide, and then this waterfall sort of like breaks apart, and then out comes a gigantic eye, like a pupil, a very like this entire waterfall just breaks apart, and from it reveals itself like a big eyeball. And then that breaks apart and moves on the side, like just peeling off like the layers of an orange kind of a thing, you know, like it's just peeling off, and then comes like a lot of teeth, and then it peels off, and then comes like mountains, and then it peels off, then comes water, and then it peels off, and then comes something else like smoke. So it like just different textures just keep revealing themselves, and it just keeps peeling and peeling, and things are just coming out. And that entire thing in itself was the guide, apparently. That was the guide, and that was an angel, is what I'm assuming. I mean, I'm calling it an angel. We can call it a guide or whatever, but that was it. That is what I was speaking to, or that is what was speaking to me, and that was meant for me. And but like this peeling movement and those textures, like that kept happening. That was like perpetual. So that was the nature of it, that it would just keep on changing form and like just keep on shifting form. So that came, and then I asked it like, okay, I'm here, like what should I do? And I don't even like recall like asking it anything in particular, but it sort of knew and it felt that it had to sort of guide me, because I was probably confused or I didn't know exactly what to ask even. So it was like, okay, I know what you want and I know what's where you want to go or what's good for you perhaps. So it just sort of took charge from there. And in the beginning, like when I saw it, I immediately got very like intimidated and scared, like, whoa, I've never seen such a thing before. And maybe it wants to hurt me, but it didn't. It was just there and I was just there. And it was like a very harmonious sort of an interaction, a very sort of calming eventually once my fear had gone down. And then at that point, you guided me to put my emotional body on the floor. And so then that process started happening. So for the first time, like that rocky medium sort of broke apart, made some space, and I could see the floor for the first time, which was also made of that medium. So I put my emotional body down, which was just like a silhouette of me. I put that down, and I wasn't in it. I was just observing that from a distance. And I was on the left side, the guide was on the right side, the angel, I'll call it the angel. So the angel was on the right side, I was on the left side, my body, emotional body was on the floor, and then it started beaming this like white light inside of it. And I was just witnessing it, and it was just beaming it, and it just kept going in and then disappearing and going in and disappearing. And eventually it filled up. So it felt like that light was getting absorbed and just dimming away and just going towards the edges. So it felt like it was absorbing it. And once the angel had put in all of that light such that it just, I could see it there instead of it dimming away, it just started existing within that body. That's when I went inside that body, and then I could feel re-energized and rejuvenated and revitalized all of a sudden. And then I started vibrating again and moving around in like a, how an electron moves around an atom kind of motion, you know, this circular motion. And I could feel being finally fully energized again. And that sense of feeling lost disappeared. Confidence came back. This sort of feeling of love came back and energy came back. And so from there, I was about to run away from this place, but the angel pulled me back in, and it pulled me back into itself, and it consumed me because it was huge. And then it consumed me, and then I just circled around its body perhaps, and I could feel the inside of it, which was made of rocks and smoke and dust and water and like lots of things. And smoke, dust, water, rocks, this is what I'm making up words. I don't even exactly know what texture it was, but it felt like that. So I just went inside it. I felt all of it. And then it contained me. And then there was like a, so I was inside of it. And then there was like a crevice that I could see through. So it felt like this whole thing was this, basically this angel was like a sphere and I was in the center of it. And then through this crevice, which was basically its pupil, I could see where it was taking me. So it just, it broke out of this space, this eyeball. I'm in the middle of it, and through its pupil, I can see what's happening. And it transported me back to Earth, and it happened so quickly. Like, it took me a lot of time to explore and discover and pass through universes to get to this angel, to get to this other universe. And it took it a matter of like second, less than a second. And to bring me back to Earth, and I could see Earth from like this distance, and it just like from that blackness, it put this focus on Earth and then beamed into it. And then it brought me to my entry point or exit point or whatever you want to call it. It brought me back there, landed there very softly and put me on the ground. I walked out. I just stood there. And then that's when I witnessed what was in front of me. And that was the most beautiful thing. And what I witnessed. And this is where I suppose like, I don't know, you'd say that this could be religious bias or whatever, even though I don't think this is religious bias because I wasn't seeking this place. Perhaps I had a question at some point in my mind, but this place where I landed was like right in front of the Kaaba, which is in Makkah. You know what I'm referring to, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So the so that's where I ended up. And this, like, it wasn't like this black box building. It was, this is basically just the bottom of a very gigantic pillar that is connecting way back up somewhere. I could like, so I could see it. I landed there and there were no people. There was no mosque or there was no like physical structures around it, tall buildings, how they are in that city, nothing. It was just brown land, pale brown land around it. That black box structure, it had golden writings on it. I'm assuming Arabic, probably some other language. I don't know. I didn't focus, but it had some language, some carvings. So it was like this very, so the scene that I'm trying to describe is that all the land around, like wherever I could see, it was just like infinite brown, the color of the ground.
Mm.
And then in the sky was like this golden colored hue. It wasn't like a blue sky, but golden colored hue, slightly brownish, golden colored. And then this black box wasn't like covered with this black cloth, how it is there. It was just like, because that cloth covering, like that building is just the physical, is on the physical plane. So what actually was there was like this very deep, intense black kind of square shaped pillar, how it is like square shaped building. So square shaped structure that is extending out from this planet. I couldn't see where it, like it just, it was just infinite. It was just going out of the planet, but it had golden colored carvings of some symbolic language, probably Arabic, I'm assuming, but golden colored carving. And it kept glowing and it kept increasing up in the, like up in the sky. And it just kept going up and up. And those golden colored carvings were getting like they were shining and everything. And it was just extending out in the sky. And that's what, like it dropped me there. And then it moved back, the angel, it moved back and it was just observing me observe this thing. And I just stood in front of it. And I, as I stood in front of it, looking at it, in that moment, I just completely fell absolutely fascinated for many reasons. I'll come to those. But like I witnessed it and I was like, OK, I understood everything. I understood this is my truth. This is where I had to be. This is where it had me land. This is my entry point. Or my exit point from the planet, or my entry point back into the planet. But whatever this is, this is significant for me. And this is fascinating that I ended up here somehow. So next time I will exit probably from here, or I will probably end up here. And then I go into this thing and then I can extend and go wherever this will take me. And I'm assuming, because this is a symbol of God, I'm assuming this will probably take me to God, or it will probably take me to some other universe. Or this would be my point to like discover something else. I don't know. I will have to find out. But like it just felt so natural that this is what it had to be. So I saw myself looking at it. And then I saw also, I moved outside of my body and I saw a man standing there wearing white colored clothes and golden colored accessories. Didn't see his face, but I could feel that it was very like a very blissful sort of a existence. And then I saw the archetypal man, probably Abraham or some other prophet or the people, archetypal, that prophetic character standing in front of this. And those people of extreme wisdom who have come before me and have witnessed this exact thing and have discovered that this is the point on the planet, which is significant. So that archetypal man figure, that archetypal quote unquote prophet figure, I saw that as well. Not being that person outside of that, witnessing it. And that, at that point, then I turned around and I thanked the angel and I was like, thank you. You showed me my truth. You showed me something that was meant for me. I'm very grateful to have witnessed all of this. And then it just sort of levitated, flew out, and then it just sort of flew out of the planet and went back to wherever obviously it came from. Or it just, I guess it exited, basically. And before this, before it was leaving, this is very important. Before it was leaving, when I asked it, like, I don't know, I don't think I asked, maybe you asked it.
Yeah.
Someone did.
I asked if he can speak through your vocal cords.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then it said, did I speak that?
You did.
Oh, wow. Because I thought like I heard it.
Yeah, I'll come to that in a while.
But, okay.
This energy used your vocal cords. That's what I was asking for.
Okay.
And you said yes. And immediately the tone of your voice changed. That was very significant. And I could feel goosebumps around the body because your voice shifted. You can hear it in the recording as well.
Really?
Yeah. The EQ of your voice shifted. And then was very calm and very subtle and very relaxing voice. And Okay. I didn't know what, I was baffled. I didn't know what to ask. And I was trying to think of a lot of things to ask that would be relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all in the session anyways.
But the things that I felt like when you asked, and through that, perhaps I asked, like we asked basically, that there's like, there was the response and there was the feeling that I got. So I'll tell the feeling first. The feeling that I got was like the huge, infinite wisdom and a lot of power, like insane amount of power and strength from this thing, but showing so much love and kindness and mercy. This is the feeling that I got. Like it was so like kind and benevolent. And in that like loving way, it had so much love and so much like this, just mother-like love. And also a mother-like love and also like some old ancient wisdom acquiring or retaining or having entity kind of love. I don't know if I'm explaining it properly, but yeah, that kind of love. And with that love, it said that you're too, like, I don't exactly remember, probably you remember, but it said that you'd breathe. Yeah, I think it said breathe.
Yeah.
And it said, you're too fast, be patient and be calm and breathe. Yeah. And this is exactly what I needed to hear. This is exactly, because I can tell, like in my life, like the chaos and the, you know, the sense of anxiety and the stresses that I take, perhaps more so than that are needed. And it just told me what I needed and told me what's right for me. And perhaps, obviously, to a certain extent, I know this as well, but hearing it from this much power, I realized, okay, I need to listen to you. I need to listen to myself as well. Always saying that I'm stressed out and like always like in a rush. I need to breathe. I need to be patient and breathe and not be so like so caught up in the speed of things. And I was like, okay, this is perfectly fitting. And he said it and then it just left.
Wow. There's a whole lot of things to unpack in there. I don't know where to begin. I had two things in that I picked up that I thought I'd say. The first thing about the symbolic representation of the central pillar that is talked about in basically every cultural standpoint around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them call it Sumeru Parvat, the central mountain. Someone call it the central tree and or Axis Mundi.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been there throughout the religious cultures or mystical cultures around. And when you were describing that, I was absolutely fascinated because I was picturing in my mind this Axis Mundi, where everything, the center of the earth, let's say, is where the light enters and exits. And then probably this was coming out of a collective unconscious when we go in and access all these parts.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, I think it was from this collective unconscious. And the other thing about letting your guide speak through you is something channeling, it's called. I don't remember their name, full name correctly. But this has been the experience of channelers, that they find themselves standing aside and then the guide or high energy forms, they use your vocal cords and speak through you as you sit aside and watch the process.
Mm-hmm.
As if you're speaking here with your physical vocal cords right now, but you're also standing here and your guide takes control of you to talk with, let's say, me in the room in that sense. And this is probably the feeling you got that when you said, I don't know who was speaking or what was going on, that you may have been taken out. And this comes from Dolores Cannon's work, that she used to completely put a conscious mind of her patient, completely shut off, and then the subconscious would start to talk. And when she would bring them out, they wouldn't remember anything of the conversation. And she would play back the tapes in back those days. Then they would realize that it worked, that they were out. And then something or somebody was speaking through them out of complete love. In the Munro's work is they put you in a certain situation that you are conscious and present while this process is happening, that you are taken out and the entity or energy form talks through you. This was the process. And in my experience so far, I've had people or my friends so far feel that the talking is happening through them and they are talking. This is what they feel. And this is the first time, a different experience for me as well, that you didn't, I don't know, as you mentioned, you didn't know what was going on or who was speaking.
Yeah, and for me, it was like the other times when I was communicating things to you, there was a different feeling because I could tell that this is my voice and this is me and I'm just communicating. And when we speak, because of that resonance, we utter the word and our vocal cords vibrate. And because of that vibration, we hear our own voice in our head as a result of that vibration combined with, like, that vibration itself happening within the body and through that resonance that goes in our ears combined with the external voice and that coming out of the mouth and then going into the ears. Those, both of those things are combined, and that's what we hear in our voice. But when it happened here, one of those things disappeared, which was the speaking out of the voice and going in into the ears. That disappeared. I could only hear the resonance inside of my head. So it wasn't my physical body speaking. Like, it was physical body probably speaking. That's how you heard it. But I couldn't hear the physical body. I could just hear the resonance inside my head. That's why I remember the words, but I don't remember speaking them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not aware of speaking them. The ego or the self wasn't aware of speaking them. It just remembers hearing it in the head.
Yeah. No, I really felt the energy shift in the room and also around my body when that happened. And I myself had a little doubt that the communication may happen or not. But when that happened and the energy in your voice shifted, I was completely taken off and I was thinking so hard to formulate questions. And I was unprepared for that also. So this is like a surprise for me that it happened in the first session. And I was like, oh my God, now what do I ask? And I took some time. Okay, I ask this. And then I ask. And then there's immediate answer. And they're like, my God, now what do I ask now? So I was going through this this storm in my head because this communication is very powerful. And then there were relevant questions and relevant answers, which applied both to you and me, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because this question that I asked probably was also being helped by guide for me and mm-hmm. for you as well. Mm-hmm. And the answers were also helped by guide for mm-hmm. both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, I really felt really good. And I didn't know how many times I thanked the guide because I was saying thank you all the time. And
it was like I was standing aside and I was just witnessing that scene of the archetypal man and the pillar. And then, like, they were in front of me on the right side. On the right side was the man, and in front of the man was the pillar, and on the left side was the guide. And I was just in the center, but like a bit back, so I could see the entire scene. And I didn't have any questions, like, because I ended up exactly where I had to be. So I was just perfectly fine. And everything just felt like complete bliss at this point, that this is perfect. Nothing to do anything, like no need to do anything, no need to ask anything, no need to go anywhere. Just absolute point of bliss where everything is perfect, pitch perfect, like that. Actual concept of perfection, and everything is chill. And then you asked those questions. I didn't ask. I perhaps through me was communicated directly there. And then the feeling that I got was like, everything is chill. You're asking these questions. You received the answer. Perhaps it was meant for you rather than for me. But now I can resonate with that. Now in my physical body, now after reflecting, I can resonate that, okay, it makes sense in my context as well. But perhaps that was an answer for you in that moment. And so the feeling that I got from the angel was like, you ask me a question, I'll answer. I'm in no rush. I'm here at your service. Whatever you want to ask, ask. And once you're done, I'll leave. So it was like just there for you. You know, it was there for us. It was like, I'm here for you, whatever you want. Okay, yeah. This is what you want. Here you go. There's the answer. Anything else? And you just kept saying like, thank you, thank you. And I was like, okay, everything chill. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Like, we're good with this much. You've given us way more than what we've asked for. Thank you. And I was like, okay, yeah, chill, cool. I'm going to get going now, okay. But like, if you have any other questions, I'm happy to help. So it was this kind of a feeling that I got. But you were like, okay, no, that's good. That's more than enough. Thank you very much, because you're so grateful. Then it was like, okay, cool. No more questions. I'll go. But if you need anything, I'll come back. It was that kind of a thing.
You know, you would be one of those people who in the Monroe Institute were calling explorers who could speak back while they were exploring.
Mm-hmm.
Usually people would just pass out and mm-hmm. then explore, come back completely, and then report their experience.
Mm-hmm.
And people who would be able to talk while out there, they were calling them explorers.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be a perfect explorer in that sense, that you could go, use, still connected with your vocal cords and giving information of what's happening, and then at the same time having your own full-blown experience out there.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping this one line of communication still with this physical matter reality, which I think is really, really a good gift and really a good help.
Yeah. You know, I honestly, like, I didn't even think that I would be able to do it. Like, because previous times when I've done a little bit of exploration on my own, I haven't, because I've done it on my own and alone. So I didn't even know that, like, it was even possible to talk about. And I thought, like, that it would probably break my connection or break my experience. But, like, as I kept speaking back to you, it didn't break my connection. And I thought, like, in the middle, my body was getting a bit uncomfortable as well, painful. And I thought, like, if I move, I'll break the connection. But I moved a little bit and it didn't break my connection. So I moved a little bit more. No connection break. Because I was like, if I'm moving my physical body, and when you're speaking, you're also moving your physical body, it didn't break the connection at all. So I didn't even realize that I had this in me. And through this, I've found out that, like, I have this, which is very fascinating. And I'm very grateful for the fact that I was able to communicate all of this as well.
It also is very helpful for my study and my exploration as well, that it allows us to take a person to their own experience and making it known instead of believing you, for example.
Right.
When you share your experience to me for the first time, maybe I have never experienced anything, let's say, and then I started believing you, then it would be your experience and not mine.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go myself and experience these things, then I know. And this is what I really like about the people who enter into these spaces and bring it back and then share with others in a way that they can explore themselves. Then this is something I really, really appreciate. And you sharing your experience and then allowing me experience and explore through you, it's mm-hmm. already something that is really, really valuable for me as well, and probably will be of value for people who are listening to us at the moment. And I'd say it's up to the listeners to believe or not believe what happened on the session today and the experience we are sharing. But if they resonate with it, we'd encourage them to explore on their own and find out their own truth out of this. Because there has been a lot of unpacking to do on this conversation we did.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of symbolism, a lot of cultural significance, a lot of collective unconscious significance,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of archetypal things to look at.
Yeah.
So it can be a very, very personal experience to many people who would like to explore an experience on their own. And this is what we'd like to encourage them to do, I'd guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing that I would like to add is that, like, all of this physical stuff that we see, structures on this planet, like all the structures that we've created, and even the natural structures like mountains and oceans and all of that. I suppose water and rocks and big, large masses of rock, which is like mountains and water, those are a very, like those exist in that other plane as well, in the non-physical. Somehow there are those structures and you can experience them and everything. But like one thing I've realized is that once you go into the non-physical and then that sort of curtain of physical reality disappears, I've looked around, and as much as I was in this planet, I realized that there are structures here that, of course, we can't see in the physical. But the whole physical that's built around it is an illusion. Like, I was talking about this casino that's in the neighborhood, and when I was circling around it, it just, like, everything was, like, nothing existed in that area. Everything was just black, and this gateway through which I exited was through the, I don't know what the significance of this casino is, but the entrance of this casino was actually the entrance or the exit portal out into the universe.
It reminds me of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, but this, like, this casino has probably no significance, but like this casino or that neighborhood and all of these physical structures are just like the physical illusion. But there are many, many places on this planet that once you take away the physical curtain, you will find those portals or exit points or entry points or like things that exist beyond it that reveal themselves to us once we break away the illusion of the physical. And that was very fascinating for me. This was one of the things that I realized that, wow, like on the same planet, there's this parallel world, parallel reality that exists. And through that, you can go into some other reality.
And this makes perfect sense when we call it phase shifting.
Okay.
As if we're audio guys, we're sound guys.
Right, yeah.
We use the terms of sound just like, actually, also it's referencing back at Robert Monroe, who was also a sound guy,
mm-hmm.
and created this whole system of hemisync around it. And he called it phase shifting. And it really feels like phasing out of this physical matter reality. But we didn't leave yet.
Yeah.
We just phased out of this reality while still here, and let the facade of physical reality clear away and open up a portal that we can enter and may enter for our explorations.
You sort of like flip the phase switch.
Yep, yep.
So if we're existing on the crest or the trough, let's say if we're existing on the trough of this particular phase, you flip the switch or flip the phase and you exist on the trough of the other phase.
Or the crest becomes trough. Something has to be empty there. The crest, if it becomes trough and you are still on the crest part, then there's nothing there. No physical vibration matter going on there.
Yeah.
So you're free to see what's happening there.
Exactly.
I'm just assuming it can be that you went down to trough as well. But
Or you're existing in both the things at the same time. There's no phase cancellation happening. You're existing on both the things at the same time.
Yeah.
But one thing probably is more overpowering, such that you're like moving around in that plane, but at the same time you're connected to your body as well.
Yeah. I think that overpowering thing is could be focus.
Focus, yeah. Which is the meditation aspect.
Yeah. Which frequency range are we tuned and focused towards will reveal us. Because in terms of tantra and meditation, we never leave. We're always here and now. Wherever we are, the here and now and the present moment will never leave us. So we basically are still here and now, just the phase shifted into, or we changed our frequency tuning into this this new reality or newfound old reality.
Yeah, or that phase exists and we just align our phase with that phase.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
We do this auto-align boost.
Yeah, auto-alignment happens and then there's like a 3 dB boost that happens.
true. Yeah. And with that, I'd really like to thank you for sharing your experience with us. And this has been a really wonderful conversation with my very dear friend, Shahryar, and regarding a combination of different methods that we have learned throughout years to get ourselves into different states of meditation, different states of consciousness, and to explore this for our personal and group-based growth. And this has been a very nice session with you, my friend, and I hope to have more sessions with you and then bring you more in our podcast furthermore in the future as well. And to the audience who are listening, would you like to say something or would you like to give them any message?
As the last words, I would first of all like to say thank you to you first, Sangam, for somehow, actually, I would like to thank you and thank me, which is one and the same thing, for thank me for finding you and thank you for finding me. And thank the collective, the cluster, for making this happen.
Yeah.
I'm very, very honestly, very grateful for this moment and this exploration and being a part of it. So I'm just very grateful. And that goes without saying, gratitude, you know. So, and extending that and building off on that, To the audience, I would also like to say one thing from myself, which is gratitude. But I would like to repeat the words of my guide, my angel: breathe, patience, and be calm.
Yeah. And with that, I'd like to ask you, where can our audience find you? Because you're a musician as well. And where can they find your artworks and your music and things like that? How can they contact you?
I have this little, very personal, but also like very ambitious on my own scale, little project that goes by the name of Bragi.
And that's B-R-A-G-I.
B-R-A-G-I dot official on Instagram. So that's where I, from time to time, like to share my film music work, my music work. I like to make some music under this name, this project. So I share my progress and my material, my art material there. So you can find me there.
And be sure to check out Bragi.official on Instagram. And he has wonderful music and his life work, passionate work that he does up there on Instagram. And I'd like to thank you all for listening to our Chinnamasta Conversation podcast. And you can find more information on our work about meditation and expansion of consciousness at www.mayameditation.org. And with that, I'd like to thank you once again and signing out for today.
Thank you for tuning into Chinnamasta Conversations, a part of the Mindful Maya podcast, where we share the stories about the exploration and expansion of consciousness. For more information, please visit www.mayameditation.org.